Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz with Agency Revolution. We make it easy to automate your systems, engage your customers, and to grow your agency or brokerage. I want to welcome you to this episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where we examine the trends, innovations, challenges, and solutions to the biggest problems facing retail agents and brokers. I'm thrilled to introduce you to our guest for today, Brad Rubin. Brad has been automating insurance agencies for 31 years. After graduating from UCLA with a degree in math and computer science, he has led Archway Computer for the past 6 years, where they've achieved consistent growth of 35% a year. And he is currently supporting 115 agencies in 25 states. One of the things that I love about talking to Brad is that he understands technology from the inside out. He understands what technology means and what it can do from an agency in terms of day-to-day operations, but also how technology can be used to scale and grow the agency. They specialize in helping agencies of all sizes get the most out of their computer hardware and software. They proactively prevent problems before they those problems put a halt to your business, so you can really focus on what you do best, which is growing your agency. So without further ado, I want to invite you to a stimulating and very practical conversation with Brad Rubin. Brad Rubin, thrilled to have you with us here today. And I know that we share a number of mutual clients, and they have nothing but good things to say about you. So it's great to have you. How are you today?
I'm great. How you doing? Are you trying out up there?
No. We have lots of weather to deal with. So I'm going to first of all, let's just sort of back up really quickly. I've introduced you to our audience already, but in your own words, tell us a little bit about what it is that you do and you know, what your area of expertise is.
Well, I guess for the last 31 years, I've been automating insurance agencies, and I've tried to get out. I sold my first business, but I find that the insurance industry is a little bit like the mob, Michael. You can never leave.
Okay. Well, once you've done a favor, that's it, right?
Okay. That's right. So my current company that I started 6 years ago is what's known as a managed services company, mm-hmm. but specifically we provide computer IT support for insurance agencies. I like to joke we have no normal clients, only insurance agents. And
me too.
What I find is that the technology surrounding the insurance industry is very different from what most IT people have worked with.
Right.
And so we become an outsourced IT department for the 120 insurance agencies that are currently that we currently do business with.
Right. Okay. So I think a lot of our conversation is going to be pretty practical and tactical. And so I want to dive into a few issues that we see arise over and over again. One of them very much in the zeitgeist today, we could call it cybersecurity, of course, data security. And so we know, as an insurance industry, we know that that's a big deal. And of course, if you everybody who listens to the news or watches the news realizes how much damage can be done when a system is breached. And so, security is it's a critical issue. Talk to us a little bit about why agents should care about data security and what they need to do about that.
Right. Right. Well, so let me just start with maybe bringing the temperature down a little bit.
All right.
I think agency owners have been scared into thinking that Chinese hackers are out there and they're going to steal, well, today, Russian hackers
right.
are out there and they're going to steal their data and sell it to someone. But in my over 30 years of doing this, I've never seen that happen. I've seen I wrote an article for Rest Notes magazine that they always make the titles to the article, but I believe the article was The Security Threat Within. And
right.
In my 31 years, I've seen a lot of agency producers steal company policy information, you know,
okay.
customer
right.
information, and go to the competitive agency down the street.
Right.
I've also seen equipment get stolen. And then you have a data privacy issue. It might have been just
right.
some classic thieves. It might have been an employee that physically stole equipment. You need to have technology security in place. But what I see more often is that there's not a physical security.
Okay. So tell us what to do.
Sure. So one thing that we tell people to do is we tell people, move your data to the cloud.
All right.
Once your data is on the cloud, it's much more difficult to get stolen. Even though we hear in the news all the time about this giant company was hacked and this giant company was hacked.
Right.
What we don't hear in the news is the 10-person insurance agency down the street had their data stolen by a producer.
Right.
That's not going to be.
That's not in the news. Okay.
Not in the news, but I can tell you I've seen it happen. So moving your data to the cloud is a good idea. But another part of data security is not doing something stupid yourself, which means not deleting your data, not having a good data backup. Basically, we do these system reviews. We do it for free for agencies.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want their business,
right.
but we find that the insurance world is such a small place, Michael, that it creates good karma. And so what we've seen in these system reviews is roughly half of the agencies that we work with or that we've done audits for
right.
Don't have good backups.
Okay.
50% don't have a good backup.
Well, so obviously that's very serious.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. So people get sort of transfixed on these news events of
uh-huh.
Russian hackers did this and did that, but I would just say they don't deal with the physical, the data that's in their office and making sure that data is protected.
So the danger is a little more sort of every day. It's a little more, we're less likely to be hacked by some mysterious, you know, Russian hacker than we are to have stuff stolen.
Right.
By a
right.
producer who got an offer from the guy down the street. And so your recommendation is move to the cloud. So I'm curious about this. So obviously, we've seen a transition from agency management systems to move into the cloud-based platform. What percentage do you think are there, and which percentage are not there?
Well, I think maybe you have to start with what does the cloud even mean?
All right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when you're going to the NewYorkTimes.com, NYTimes.com,
right.
are you on the cloud because you're consuming a lot of information on that? So that was kind of the first generation of the Internet, or Web 1.0,
mm-hmm.
was content, one-way information. And then another way people describe today being on the cloud is they're using their agency management system online, or they have their email online.
Right.
And those are both cloud-based applications where there's a two-way interaction that's
mm-hmm.
happening.
Right.
Data is coming from the provider. You're inputting information into a policy, into a customer, et cetera. And then, and there are many people that have different definitions for that. So I call that Web 2.0. And then Web 3.0 is the new way that folks like me are trying to take our agency bases. And that's to take your desktop, your Windows desktop,
right,
and move it to the cloud, right?
Right.
And so when you move your desktop to the cloud, you gain a lot of advantages from that. You never have to upgrade your equipment again. If your machine is running slow in the cloud,
right,
and we happen to be big proponents of Amazon Web Services.
Okay, yes.
They have a very big lead in this space.
Uh-huh.
But if you move your, if your desktop in the cloud is running slowly, it's a mouse click for a technician to say, okay, I'm
right,
doubling the memory in your machine.
Okay. Got it.
And it also means as we get a more distributed workforce that it doesn't matter where literally in the world that you are, you have access to your computer wherever you have access to the internet.
So it facilitates a remote workforce.
It facilitates a remote workforce. It facilitates a mobile workforce. It allows a lot of flexibility in how you roll out computers to people without having to have the computer tech walk into the office.
Okay, so.
Uh-huh. Set up that computer.
All right. So, Brad, I know that I have a number of clients who are still using, you know, the, sort of their original server-based agency management system platform. So I'm going to ask you, in one sentence, what do you want to say to them?
Move to the cloud.
Because?
Your information is safer in the cloud,
uh-huh,
and your ability to work from anywhere is much easier when you're in the cloud.
Got it. All right. I'm going to change gears. Okay. Anything else on that?
Sure.
On okay. Anything else? Data security.
No. I mean, I just would just say that, hey, there are lots of definitions. You've actually just heard the correct definition.
Okay.
Everybody else's is wrong.
Very good. Okay. All right. Okay. So I do want to change gears here and move to sort of a different take on technology in general. I know that you use a number of technology tools to help you sell. Can you share with us what your marketing, your sales stack is?
Sure. So okay. Let me just start with what I tell every person who uses the internet.
All right.
And that is
which is everybody that you ever talk to. Okay.
Well, you'd be surprised. All right. I was in an agent yesterday where the owner doesn't have email.
Okay. Fair enough. For a moment I forgot we were talking about the insurance industry. Okay, so
exactly. What I'd like to tell people that use the internet,
uh-huh,
use the web, is that everything that they're doing is being tracked. I know it's scary, but people start to, what I tell them, hey, have you ever wondered why these ads pop up for a website that you haven't visited in 5 days?
Right.
And they say, oh, yes, I understand that. Well, that's because there's a tracking network that mm-hmm. places ads because they've discovered that people are more likely to click on ads where they've been to that website
if they've shown an interest. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Google's remarketing.
So, exactly. Google remarketing, et cetera. So they're just trying to get people to click on things, and that's what it happens. But my point is everything that anybody does on the internet is tracked. So we could use that for bad, like let's say, slow, and the gecko use it, or we can use it for good.
Okay. The forces of good. All right. So what would you do?
So some of the products that I like to use with the forces of good is what is called Visual Visitor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a product that will do what's called, in techno-geek terms, a reverse DNS lookup, which basically means when somebody visits your website, whether they got your website from a business card or a friend told them, they didn't get it through a Google ad or whatever, but it will tell the agency owner that X company just visited your website. And I find agencies, salespeople, producers,
right,
tell me that this is very useful information because they don't know how interested a commercial account might be in what they're offering until they see them hitting their website consistently throughout a day. And they go, oh, my goodness, this agency or this company that I didn't think was interested in our products obviously is.
They're visiting. So is that an application that gets integrated into your web platform?
Yeah.
Agencies?
So, okay. into a website, and it's basically a two-line snippet of code that gets integrated in, and a $39 monthly fee for this.
Right on. Okay.
So another product that I really love is Yesware. A product called ToutApp.
Can you spell the second one?
ToutApp is TOUTAPP.
Okay.
And they essentially do the same things, and they integrate with Outlook, et cetera. But what it is it's a read receipt without a read receipt.
Ah, okay, right.
Which means that for individual emails that you send, it will give you response. It will tell you that that email was just open,
right,
or that an attachment inside that email was open. And what's so interesting?
Uh-huh.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to be. I'm familiar with that technology, and I was curious if you knew by what percentage, somewhere between 0 and 100%, and way closer to zero. It reduces the deliverability or increases the likelihood that it gets put into a spam folder.
I've never seen it happen.
Okay, got it. All right, very good.
I've never seen it happen. What it is it's a little graphic bit.
Right, a little pixel that gets
put in there.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Okay.
Now, what some tech people will do is they'll turn off graphics so that pixel never gets open,
okay,
and then you won't know.
Right, okay.
But what I've seen is, and what my agency principals have told me,
right,
is it's just really great to be able to call up a prospect right when they opened an email.
Right on. It's also interesting to notice, like, if you ask somebody to call you back and you know that they opened it and they don't call you for, you know, days and days. It's a remarkable window.
Cancellation notice.
Yeah, how about that?
That they read on their iPad on their couch at home.
Uh-huh.
And then they opened it on their Windows desktop at work.
Right.
Et cetera.
Does that product have a free version and a paid version? The ones that I'm familiar with, the free version that has a little bug that sort of advertises the tracker, and the paid version removes that.
So the free version of Yesware allows you to only send so many emails that are tracked in a specific time period.
Uh-huh.
I'm not familiar with the ones that you're talking about, that basically have an ad for them.
Mail tracker.
I haven't seen that.
The one I'm familiar with and the one I'll use when I feel that it's appropriate is Mail Tracker. The free version it's got a little Mail Tracker bug down at the bottom of the email. If you want to have that removed, there's a small monthly fee.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm not familiar with that product, but I will say in general I've had this come up where I sent a proposal to an agency, and then I've seen it later opened by a competitor.
Oh.
By tracking, by knowing that this competitor is in a specific city and saying, wait a second, they don't have an office.
Right.
There.
Right. Okay. Got it. All right.
My agency clients have also told me, they've said, what we've seen is we send a proposal out, and then, they say no, and then 11 months later, we see them open that proposal.
Interesting. Again. Right. Okay. Oh, that's
and
really.
They go,
that's,
wait.
Yeah. Okay.
We should call.
We should call. All right.
But in general, and this will sound like I'm talking to the choir here, that agency management systems, they aren't agency management systems.
Oh.
I think that an insurance agency is a sales organization. And all these agency management systems that are on the market, I'm sorry to say, don't do anything to improve the sales organization.
Right. Okay.
They're all about a back office management system.
Right. In their defense, some of them have subsidiary products that help in that regard. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Right. But the main focus has not been on sales. I think we would agree on that.
I think everybody agrees on that. Right.
Yeah, on automating, on automation, and so automating the back office, and so I that's why I'm excited about like products like Agency Revolution that are truly they're filling a void that isn't out there. We also have some agencies using like products like PipeDrive.
Yes,
which is.
Pipeline manager?
Pipeline manager. Mm-hmm. That, there are some agency management systems that do that a little better than others.
Right.
And I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to take sides in that whole thing.
You got friends out there, so be careful what you say. Visual Visitor and the email tracking applications. Are there other software or technologies that? Besides Agency Revolution, which you also mentioned, thank you. Are there other applications out there that you like on the sales side? And PipeDrive, yeah, I think as I recall, they have a free version that you can kind of test and really get your feet wet in before you choose to go to the premium version. At least that's the way it was when I saw it a year or two ago. So, anything else?
I mean, I think having some sort of email marketing campaign is good. I'm a big fan of, believe it or not, a product called Google Voice, which allows you to make click-to-calls. So when you have a producer, it'll take any web-based application, and as we know, some agency management systems are web-based and some aren't.
Right.
But for those that are web-based, having a clickable phone number really, really is helpful. Producers that are spending a lot of time on the phone.
Right on. Okay. So there's something else that's sort of in the zeitgeist these days, ransomware. Can you tell us what that is and why agents need to even think about it?
Well, remember when we were talking about how I'm not afraid of Chinese hackers taking your data and selling it to somebody? Because the fact of the matter is, Michael, there's nobody that wants to buy most agencies' data. The hacker is going to steal their data and then go, now what? What do I do with it?
Right.
Yeah.
Where are the credit card numbers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So what hackers have recognized is the person that wants the data is the person that they stole it from.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what ransomware is all about.
Okay.
It's about encrypting a company, an agency's data.
Their own data.
Such that, their own data such that they have to pay through Bitcoin, which is an untraceable currency. You're not getting your money back once you give them the Bitcoin.
Right.
You're not going to be able to challenge that with your credit card company, et cetera. and so what we've seen is the rapid rise of these, really these mob-style gangster organizations that are doing this in places like Asia and Eastern Europe. And it's the when we saw it come out about 3 years ago, one of my lead engineers said, this is the scariest, well, we'll just say stuff that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And so we got to do something about it. And so we installed for all of our agencies. That day, the first time we got hit by ransomware 3 years ago, there's a service, and I'll just give these guys a free plug, and it's free, called from Foolish IT. Now, you could spell that many ways, but Foolish IT.
Okay, I got it. All right. Foolish IT.
So, yeah, and so you can download a product called Crypto Prevent. That won't prevent all versions of CryptoLocker, but will prevent some of them. But what, like, I'll give you an example that's in the news. A hospital was hit by CryptoLocker out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And they had good backups. And so they were going to be able to restore, but the problem was they had so much data that it was going to take them 3 days to restore. So reportedly, they gave the criminals $20,000 to get their data back. Now,
the
criminals had asked for $1 million.
All right. But, you know, okay.
Somehow we're able to negotiate them down.
Yeah.
But that of all the security stuff that's going out there is really what I'm concerned about. You know, there used to be viruses that all they would do is they would destroy your data.
Right.
And then, and so the hacker got nothing but some sort of masochistic or sadistic joy out of that. And that the other thing we see quite prevalently is what's called malware, where people hijack a computer unbeknownst to the user, and they start emailing out 1 million emails to everybody that they want to sell Viagra to or whatever. And then when they do that, the email, they get blacklisted by the ISP such that all their emails are thought of by the world as being spam.
Right.
And that's a bad situation to be in.
Okay. So the same kind of protective software can protect from that?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have layers of protection. You have to have firewalls that protect you. You've got to have antivirus, anti-malware. We use Crypto Prevent. But again, most of those problems go away if you move your data to the cloud.
All right. Okay, I have one last question for you, and maybe this is an opportunity for you to kind of take a swipe at the competition. A lot of our clients and you know agents and brokers throughout the U.S. and Canada have their local IT guy, right? What's wrong with that?
Nothing's really wrong with that. I mean, they're usually a nice guy. They usually, and I'm sorry if I'm being sexist here, but they're almost always men, and they're usually playing on the owner's softball team, or they have kids in the same team, etc. But what we find is that many of them are trying to be jacks of all trades.
Right.
So they're not specializing in insurance. They've got a gamut of customers. They're normally, you know, they're busy. You know, they're handling tech stuff. They're doing the accounting. If they're on one side of town, they can't be on the other side of town at the same time. We find that, sadly, that, you know, if they follow Microsoft's best practices, that doesn't work with insurance technology.
Ah, okay.
And we also find that that guy down the street is all about selling products and things that don't make an insurance agency any better.
Right.
I think that owners of agencies have been conditioned to believe that they just have to have somebody on site. And they've been told this because their IT vendor has told them this, because they're down the street from the IT vendor. And the IT vendor, oftentimes, they make money going into your office. So this is a model called break fix. So things have to break in order for them to fix them,
right,
and to make their money. We're in the managed services business, so we wake up every morning saying, gosh, we hope we did everything we can to prevent problems from happening, because customers pay the same amount of money whether there's 100 things that we fix in a month or zero.
Right.
And so, normally the IT guy down the street, he wants to be called in because, just like a taxi, the meter starts to run.
Got it. All right. Brad, I'm going to ask you one more question.
Shoot.
Well, we've talked about, so far, nothing but technology. What we really haven't touched on, and I'm not going to ask you to, you know, spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to give you about two sentences for your answer. Is InsurTech. It's the sort of massive infusion of energy, capital, innovation largely from what you would call the technology sector or technology innovators, startups. Largely intended to disrupt or transform the industry. So given that context, given the big picture landscape that we're all living in right now, if you were going to say something, sort of deliver a declaration or an imperative to the agency force today, what would you say to them?
Leverage your technology and find niches that you can really help your clients in.
Very good. Excellent. Okay. Brad, that was tremendous and also extremely practical and tactical. So I appreciate the usability of this information. Is there anything else you want to pass on before we wind it up?
Well, I will just say, go Bruins. I'm a huge UCLA. I graduated from UCLA. It took me 18 years, and that's the truth. We've got a great basketball team this year.
Right,
Michael.
On. Okay. There's a history of that there. If people want to reach out to you and find out more about what you do and what your firm does, how should they do that?
Sure. So they can call me directly at 424-245-5270.
Okay.
They can also email me, Brad at myarchway, myarchway.com.
Very good. All right. Brad, thanks so much for sharing your expertise. On behalf of all of our listeners, this has been great. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael.
Have a great day.
You too.